Gospel and chapter number 7. Verse number 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, that is the Lord Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, Well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And we know that God will bless his word. I want to speak to you this evening about the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Because every one of us, as we've heard, are a sinner. And we all need our sins forgiven if we are ever to be in heaven. And if we don't have our sins forgiven, we will be under God's judgment and wrath for eternity in hell. And therefore there is no greater subject than the forgiveness of sins. That's what the gospel is all about. And that's why we have read tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells me that it's through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is not found in the preacher. It's not found in a pastor. It's not found in a priest, but it's found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because upon the cross at Calvary, Christ died for our sins, and he alone can forgive sins. Now, as we've heard, when we come to the Bible, it tells us a lot about ourselves as a sinner, because we must realize the seriousness of our sins. And the Bible will give us a number of pictures to describe ourselves as a sinner. For example, the Bible will tell us that as sinners we are blind and we need to receive our sight. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us back our sight. And the Bible will tell us that we as sinners are like someone who is sick and we need a doctor. We need a cure. Thank God tonight, Christ is the cure. The Bible will tell us, for instance, that a sinner is like someone who is hungry and needs to be filled. And thank God, Christ is able to fill this evening. He is able to satisfy. The Bible tells us a sinner is like someone who is thirsty. and they need their thirst quenched. And thank God Christ can offer a drink of eternal life and you'll never thirst again. But before us this evening in Luke chapter 7, the picture is of the sinner as someone who is in debt. He is in debt to God. And I don't know if you've ever realized that in your sins that you are in debt and you need to have your debt cleared. And thank God tonight the gospel tells me that Jesus Christ has paid the debt and he is able to clear your debt this evening so that you have no debt. And that is the picture that we have that we're going to look at this evening. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he is meeting with two people. He comes into the house of a religious man. And you know, that religious man, he teaches us something about the pride of a sinner. You see, he wanted Jesus in his house. He wanted Jesus at his table. And no doubt the word would have went round that he had Jesus in his house. That would have given him some importance. And maybe he might have given thanks for his food when Jesus was there. Maybe that's what you do. You have Jesus at your table and that's good. You pray and you give thanks for your food. But I wonder, have you ever given God thanks for his son? Okay? Has there ever been a time in your life when you gave God thanks for his son? Oh, that man is sitting at the table and he's proud of his position. And in the door comes a woman. And to the man's shock, she doesn't sit at the table with Jesus. No, what she does is she gets right down at his feet. And you know, she begins to kiss his feet. And she begins to weep with tears. And she wipes his feet with her hair. And then she takes the most expensive of perfume and she pours it on his head. And the man is mesmerized. And he looks at the woman. And we start to see what's in this man's heart. And I tell you, we see what's in the woman's heart. What's she doing? She's showing her appreciation for what Christ has done for her. Because here is a woman, and we discover her sins are forgiven, and she's thankful, and she's grateful. And anybody who has had their sins forgiven will be so thankful, they'll want to fall down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll want to come to him, and it might even cause us to shed a tear, not of sadness. If you ever see us shedding a tear, well, we're maybe sad that you're not saved, but sometimes, you know, we're just overcome with thankfulness. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. You know, I tell you tonight, there's no greater thing for me to know that God will never, ever bring one sin against me. And I think of the hundreds and thousands of sins that I have committed. Some of them I can't even remember. Some of them I'm likely not even aware that I've committed. But thank God, as we've heard, Christ has paid for them all. And the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And this man looks at the woman. And he looks down at her. And he has been exposed. He has been shown up as just a religious man. And he thinks to himself, if the Lord Jesus knew who that woman was, he wouldn't allow her to touch him because she's just a sinner. See, as Craig has said, we're very good at pointing the finger at other people. And we're able to look at others and to say, well, they're a sinner. And they've done this. And they've done that. And I would never do this. And I would never do that. And what are we doing? We're using other people as the standard when there's only one standard, and that standard is God. you ever measured yourself against God? The Bible tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The glory of God simply means His greatness, His majesty, His holiness, His perfection, His power. And if I were to speak about the glory of God, I would be here to 12 o'clock and I wouldn't even have touched it. And you measure yourself against the glory of God, and I think you'll be like that woman. You'll have to just fall down. Oh, don't be like the man at the table and be proud of yourself and look on others. For dear friend, tonight, there's none of us righteous. We're all as an unclean thing. We're all under sin. All our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. And could I tell you that even to boast of your good works is a sin in itself, is pride. So the very fact of someone saying, I'm good enough for God, they're committing the sin of pride, boasting. And you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 6? It says, there's six things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. And top of the list is a proud look and a lying tongue. Oh, be truthful tonight about yourself before God. Please do. Acknowledge what you are. A guilty sinner. And so the Lord Jesus is going to teach this man a lesson so that he might realize just what he is in the sight of God. And the lesson he learns is this, that he's someone who has a debt. And says the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, there were two men and they were debtors. And they owed an amount of money. And one owed 500 pence and the other owed 50 pence. And you see, none of them had anything to pay their debt with. But along came the creditor, the person that they owed the money to, and it says that he forgave them both. Forgave them both. And says the Lord Jesus, out of those two people, who was it that appreciated the forgiveness most? And the man answers right. He says, well, the person that was forgiven the most, that owed the most money, he was going to be most grateful. You see, the point of the story is this, that the man had to learn. But whether you're a 500 pence debtor or a 50 pence debtor, they still needed the same forgiveness. And therefore, tonight, it's not about what type of a sinner you are. It's acknowledging before God that you are a sinner. And whether you're a bad sinner or a good sinner, it doesn't matter. The fact is, you need the same forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. The same forgiveness as I do, as anyone does. And that's the forgiveness that's available. You know, back home, in our local newspaper, there's a very interesting page. I'm a little bit naughty when I read it, but the page of the newspaper has all the fines that people get when they are caught for speeding. And I sometimes like to read them. And you see, some people, they're caught for doing 30 miles an hour when they should have been doing 20. And then other people, they're doing 60 miles an hour when they should have been doing 40. And then there's other people, and well, their cruise control maybe was set a bit high, and they're doing 90 when they should have been doing 60. But you know, you could write one word across that whole page. G-U-I-L-T-Y, guilty. Listen. Tonight we can write one word across this audience. We can write one word across this nation. We can write one word across this world. Paul says, let every mouth be stopped and the whole world guilty before God. See, my friend, until you accept your guilt and until you accept that you have a debt and that your sin has caused you to be a debtor before God, you'll never really appreciate the price that he paid. Now, The fact of the matter is this, in case somebody is confused, we're not saying that because you're in debt that you owe money to God. This is not a monetary debt. That's why we're not passing round a collection. We're no interest in your money. And God is not interested in your money. No, this is a legal debt. Okay. Sometimes we use the word owe. Like we'll say, well, you owe someone an apology because they've offended you. Or you've offended them. You owe them an apology. Now, the fact is this, that when we sin, we offend God. And when we sin, there is a penalty. And the penalty of sin is not a monetary payment. The penalty of sin is death. You say, does that mean because I'm a sinner I have to die? No, thank God Christ died and paid the price and paid the debt for your sins. Because you see, you could never die for your own sins. Why? Because it would be the death of a sinner. And God cannot accept anything that any sinner offers. All that God can accept is the death of a sinless man. And the only sinless man was God's Son. And that's why upon the cross we find Jesus Christ. And in his death, he paid the price for your sin and for mine. Oh, I love the words of the hymn. It says this, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that's why we make so much of the death of Christ. Christ died for our sins. That's important. He died for our sins. But I want to just put a big red line under this word. He died. You see, his death was the payment. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. The Bible says he suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. What did he suffer? He suffered death for every man. And the Bible tells me that he offered himself as a sacrifice unto God. What was the sacrifice that he offered? His perfect sinless life? No, my friend. He offered himself in death. He laid down that life. And he shed his precious blood. And when we speak of the blood of Christ, we're speaking of his death. And upon the cross, he really did die. You see, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, he could have called a multitude of angels to his assistance. It wasn't the nails that held him to that cross. No, it was his love for you and I that held him there. And upon the cross, he entered into death. And at the appointed time, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he dismissed his spirit. You don't have the power to do that, nor do I. Because death had no power over him. Thank God it didn't. Why? Because he was a sinless man. And therefore, in his sinlessness and in his perfection, he could die a sinless death. And because death had no power over him, thank God on the third day he rose from the dead. And I want to tell you tonight that though men crucified him to the cross, and though God placed upon him my sins and your sins, I want to tell you what God did with my dear Savior. The Bible tells me that God raised him from the dead, and he's given him a name that's above every name. At that name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's why tonight we look to heaven to a risen, exalted Christ, and we can sing with the hymn writer, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Have you ever crowned him Lord of all in your life? Has he got the top place in your life? Have you acknowledged him as your Savior and your Lord, dear friend? He died for you. And it's only when you put your trust in him that your debt will be cleared. Have you got that? Although the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sin of the world, and he made a one-off payment, it's only when you trust him that your personal debt is cleared. That's why you must come tonight, and you must receive eternal life, and you must receive what Luke 7 says is the forgiveness of sins. Because the forgiveness of sins is your debt being cleared. And I'm thankful tonight that the Bible tells me, not only does he forgive my sins, but he forgets them. You know, you and I can forgive somebody, but we have a job forgetting, don't we? We always remember. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That's why there's no condemnation. You know, some people, maybe someone is saved tonight, and you're living in a little bit of bondage still, and you're thinking, is it possible that God could still bring an accusation against me? No! If you appreciate the blood of Christ, you will appreciate this, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Condemnation doesn't even exist as far as the person who is saved. It's impossible. That's the wonder of the death of Christ. Because though through one man judgment came upon all men to condemnation, I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus, he bore the judgment upon the cross. And the moment that you put your trust in him, the penalty, the sentence of death is removed, and you have eternal life. Would you not like to be saved this evening? Do you not like this woman, to know the peace of the forgiveness of sins? Oh, listen to what he says to her. Who is this that forgiveth sins also, they ask. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now you see, what saved this woman was the fact that she put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why she was worshipping him. That's why she fell down. Because she recognized that it was he who forgave her sins. You see, after all, the only person that can forgive is the person who's been offended. If you were to say to me, Jonathan, you're forgiven, well, I would say to you, well, what did I do that I need to be forgiven? So, tonight is between you and God. You have to tell God that you're a guilty sinner. Confess your sins before God and come just as you are. And as the little hymn says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. You know, there was a dear lady years ago, a Christian lady, a godly lady, and she owned a little shop. And the people used to come in and buy from her, and if they didn't have the money, she put their name up on a board. And if they owed £5, she put one stroke. If they owed £10, then a second stroke. 15, a third stroke. And one day the door opened and an older lady came in. And she had come to settle her debt and to pay what she owed. And the lady behind the counter said, you've come to pay. And she says, well, there's something first I want to speak to you about. Well, she says, what is it? She said, I'm very concerned that I don't have peace with God and I'm not ready for heaven. She says, my sins trouble me. I've lived a good life, but she says, there's just things that trouble me. And, oh, said the lady behind the counter. Well, she said, you see your name up on the board? He says, yes. And you see, you owe £20. Yes. Well, she said, just look at this. And she took a cloth. And she went over to the board and she rubbed out the marks. The woman said to her, but what are you doing? I owe that money. And the woman took out from her purse £20 and put it in the till. Abbot, she says, I have paid your debt. You don't owe anything anymore. Oh, she says, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much. She says, I feel better already. And the woman behind the till said to her, yes, but before you go, can I ask you a question? Yes. She says, why is it that you're prepared to accept that I have paid your debt for what you owed, but you cannot accept God's word that Christ has paid your debt of sin upon the cross? Do you know the woman froze? Oh, she says, I see it now. She says, I have peace with God. It's paid. She said, I didn't realize it was that way. I realize now that he died for me. And she went away, not only with the money that she owed paid. Well, that's good not to be in debt. Debt's something miserable. But she went away with the peace of God in her heart, knowing this, that Jesus paid it all. The Redeemer. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cross he suffered, paid the debt, and set me free. My friend, tonight, if you put your trust in him, the debt of sin will be cleared eternally. It doesn't matter whether you're a 50 pence debtor or a 500 pence debtor. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight has on offer the forgiveness of sins. And if you trust him, you'll be eternally forgiven. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow with thanksgiving in our hearts for the great